I want to switch over now to our Bible study. And let me get this here. Get my notes together here. Say, if you have your Bibles, open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now we have been studying the Bible and future events. And we've looked at the last two lectures. We've looked at the description of the last days. What are the last days about? That was last week. We talked about the last days, and we're living in the last days, and we're living in perilous times, and we're living in the calendar of God called the present time. This is the present evil world that we live in, and so this is our time in God's calendar. Then prior to last week, I also explained in the first week some of the future prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled. And we identified there are seven future events that have yet to be fulfilled. They haven't been accomplished yet, but we read them clearly in the scriptures, and we know that they will happen because God, when he gives us a promise, he always fulfills his promise. And so if Jesus says, I will come, guess what? He will come, and he will come again. He came the first time in his incarnation, and he'll be coming again to rule and reign in Jerusalem and to establish his millennial kingdom. So there are two comings, okay, in the scriptures. And then we're going to look at all these events that lead up to that, okay? So today, vital information. Let me just give you a quick review. Last week we discovered Israel is a chosen nation. And God's focus was on Israel, except Israel rejected the kingdom, and we looked at that in Matthew chapter 11. And that's why we are now living in Matthew chapter 13. So go, well, I know you're in 1 Corinthians 15, but take a peek real quick in Matthew chapter 13. Tingnan mo ang Matthew chapter 13. Nireject nila ng Israel ang kaharian ng Diyos. Kaya ang Panginoon rineject ang Israel sa ngayon. But look at Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 11. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So the parables, Jesus used parables for the first time in Matthew chapter 13. He never used parables before. Now he switched. He's using parables to hide the truth. For the proud, he's not going to work with the proud Israel. He's not going to work with proud sinners. He will graciously save humble sinners, and he'll graciously save repentant sinners, but God will reject the proud and the prideful heart. And so Israel proudly rejected the kingdom, and so the king rejected Israel for now. And so he taught in parables, and this is the mystery of the parables, mystery of the kingdom parables. And that's why all the eight parables that we find in Matthew 13 that we studied about last week, this is why the world is such a mess today. Because saved people and unsaved people are all in the same place. We can't tell whether a person is saved or not saved apart from their testimony. And who knows if what they say in their testimony is true? Only you and God personally know if you really, truly are born again, if you're truly saved. And that's the mystery of the kingdom parables. That's the wheat and the tares. And the gospel is to be preached no longer just into the cities of Israel. That was Matthew chapter 10. But now in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That promise is no longer just to Israel. He's not addressing Israel anymore. Now he's addressing the entire world. And in Matthew 28, he commissioned the local New Testament biblical churches, church, at that time there was only one church, the church in Galilee. We looked at that in Matthew chapter 28. But he commissioned that church to go ye into all the world, not just the cities of Israel, but now to all the world. So, and he commissioned one organization to baptize, to make disciples, to baptize converts and to train them to establish other local New Testament biblical churches. And what organization is that that Jesus established? The New Testament church, correct. And then the New Testament church is always local, always organized, always commissioned. It's the only thing that's commissioned. So if you're interested in ministry, make sure it's under the purview and the supervision of a local New Testament biblical church. And so God's focus, we learned last week, is no longer on Israel for now. His focus is now on the New Testament church. Remember, Israel was the national body, but the church is a spiritual body. It's a religious body, not a national body. Israel is ethnic, native, bloodline, race, Abraham's physical seed. But the local New Testament biblical churches are spiritual. And you enter into that by salvation, then baptism, and then added to the membership of a local New Testament biblical church. And God is interested in the churches today. Again, we looked at this last week with Revelation chapter number 2 and 3, the seven churches. God works through his New Testament biblical church. He doesn't use today the nation of Israel. Now, eventually, he will use the nation of Israel again. And these are some of the things that we will look at. But now let's go to Matthew. Now, that was the mystery of the kingdom parables, the mystery of the kingdom. Now, I also shared with you last week the mystery of Christ and the church, the mystery of Christ and the church, according to Ephesians chapter 5. And we also looked at the mystery of the seven candlesticks in Revelation chapter Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. So there's a lot of mystery, okay? Well, guess what? I'll show you another mystery. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So purus misteryo, no? Yung mystery ng kingdom parables, yan ang kasalukuyan natin ngayon. Kaya magulo ang mundo. Halo-halo ang mga saved sa mga unsaved. At walo ang mga parables na pinag-aralan natin last week. I-review na lang ninyo yon. Tapos may mystery ng ni Kristo at ng kanyang iglesia. Tapos may mystery ng seven candlesticks sa Revelation chapter 1, verse number 20. Purus mystery. Pag pinag-aralan mo yung Bible prophecy, halo dyan, kasama dyan yung mga mysteries ng New Testament. At kung tatalakayan natin ang mysteries, hindi natin gagawin yan ngayon. Meron pong 11 mysteries sa New Testament. Pero hindi natin tatalakayan lahat. Okay? Now, another mystery, and this is where we begin our lesson. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 51. This is a very interesting passage of Scripture. And Paul begins to download the mystery, another mystery. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. And what's that mystery? And here he is. He's going to reveal to us that mystery. And by the way, because it's a mystery, the Old Testament doesn't know about this. This is the first time that God's churches will ever hear about this mystery. What is this mystery? Look at verse 51. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Sounds like the church nursery. I'm just kidding. No, it's not. We shall not all sleep. What does that mean? Hindi ho tayo lahat ay matutulog. Yung pagtulog ay larawan ng kamatayan. Kumbaga sinasabi ni Apostol Pablo, hindi ho lahat tayo mamamatay. Paul was basically saying, hey, there's a mystery. I'm going to reveal something to you. You know what, Corinthian church? We shall not all die. Huh? What? The Old Testament knew that people, saints, will die, but they also knew that saints will be resurrected. But they didn't know that there was a possibility that a person may not go through death. They could actually bypass death itself. Oh, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now remember, Paul was speaking to the local New Testament biblical church called the church at Corinth. Okay, so again, God is interested in the churches. Now, let me ask you a question. Was the church at Corinth a spiritual church, or were they a carnally minded church? What do we know about the church at Corinth? No, there were a lot of divisions. There were a lot of factions. There were a lot of problems in the church at Corinth. But Paul said, don't worry, church at Corinth. We shall not all die. We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed. And so this is a great mystery and just revealed to the New Testament biblical church, to the churches there. So that means that bodies will not die. The bodies of believers could possibly not die. That also means that the bodies could be transformed from mortal to immortal, from corruptible to incorruptible. Verse number 52, look at verse 52. When? In a moment, the smallest amount of time that you can imagine, in a moment, it could happen just like that, in a moment, and even quicker, in the twinkling of an eye. Oh, do you know how fast you could blink? It's even faster than that. Whoa, this mystery of changing from corruption to incorruptible could happen in a twinkling of an eye. When at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. That's resurrection. But look over here, and we, Paul included, Paul was encouraging the church at Corinth. He said, church, we shall be changed. Paul had the hope in his heart, and he encouraged the church at Corinth to look for this event, that they shall not die, but they shall be changed. Oh, that's the rapture of the believer. And verse number 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so the dead will be resurrected when Jesus Christ descends for his New Testament churches. Now, when I say that, he's going to descend not just for the church, okay? More than that, he's going to descend and snatch away and take with him all the believers, everyone who is saved. even if they're not a Baptist church, even if they're not scripturally baptized and added to the church. The most important requirement is salvation. See, Jesus Christ will come, and this is not Jesus' second coming. This is totally unrelated to the second coming. This is a rapture of the believer. And we'll look at some more scripture passages. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When we say rapture, where did we get that word from? And what does it mean? Okay. Well, the word rapture comes from Latin. It's a Latin word, raptura. So galing pala sa Latin yung rapture. If we really wanted to use the Bible word, we have to use the word caught up. Caught up. And even caught up, you know, doesn't really give us everything. The word in the original language suggests to us that it's a snatching. It's a seizing. He's going to snatch us up. He's going to catch us up. We're going to be caught up instantaneously in the twinkling of an eye. But look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. This is where we get the word rapture from. 1 Thessalonians 4, 17. Then we which are alive and remain. You get that? Because the dead in Christ will rise first. That's the resurrection. Then we which are alive and remain. Again, Paul was encouraging the church, not at Corinth. What church is he encouraging this time? We're in, that's right, Thessalonica, the church in Thessalonica, another local assembly of baptized disciples organized and commissioned. Okay, again, God's program today is the local New Testament biblical church. And so he says this, verse number 16, for the verse number 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, those that were dead and raised again. We will be caught up together with them. And what are we going to do? To meet the Lord. Where? In the air. So you see, when Jesus comes back at the rapture of the believers, he's not coming back to the earth. He is not establishing his kingdom. He is here to snatch us out of this world, all the believers. And another motive, of course, is that he's going to take his bride away. And who's his bride? Guess who his bride is? The New Testament, biblical, local, autonomous, independent, organized and commissioned biblical churches. See, the church is so important to Christ. He has a relationship with the church. Just read Ephesians. He bled for the church. He cleanses the church. He loves the church. And so he's here to snatch her away, to protect her. And so anyway, but we get the word rapture from the phrase caught up. Caught up. And in the Latin, caught up is raptura, raptura. And so when we say the rapture of the believer, we're saying that Jesus is coming back in the air. He's going to say a shout. He's going to make a shout. Well, let's go ahead and let's read verse number 16. This is another process. We read 1 Corinthians 15. That's another classic passage that explains the rapture. Here's another one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, you know, Jesus shouted three times in the New Testament. He shouted in Lazarus' grave. You know what he said? Lazarus, come forth. And what did Lazarus do? He came forth. And Jesus shouted on the cross of Calvary. You know what he said? It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave a shout, and then he died. And in 3 days and three nights later, he rose again from the dead. And guess who came forth from the grave? A lot of believers during the time of Christ came forth from the grave. And they actually spent time in Jerusalem as a testimony, as a witness to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus comes in the air, he's going to have a shout. Guess who's going to respond? Everyone who is saved, everyone who shares the same nature as Jesus Christ, he'll be like a magnet, and only the metal will respond to that magnet. The wood, the plastic, all everything else cannot respond to that shout because they're not saved. They're not born again. I'm telling you, you need to be saved. You need to get saved. More important than joining a church, more important than anything else, salvation first of all. Because when Jesus comes back and shouts, the only one who's going up are the believers. And it doesn't matter if the believer is a backsliding believer. Oh, it doesn't matter if that believer is a on fire, zealous Christian. That's a good thing. It doesn't matter if the believer is part of a local New Testament Baptist church. That's not the point. The point is Jesus is coming back for his own. And if you're not in him, you're not going up. Okay, so you need to be saved. All right, let's look at this again. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Why does he have a voice of the archangel? Well, it's because everything that's going to happen after the rapture will involve angels. And if you know the book of Revelation, there's a lot of angelic activity between Revelation chapter 6 to Revelation chapter and so on, all clear until chapter 19, 20 and all that. He's going to summon the angels, and the angels are going to pour out God's judgment. And then there's another thing, and with the trump of God. What about the trump of God? Who responds to the trumpet? Who responds in the Old Testament to the trumpet? Guess who responds to the trumpet in the Old Testament? Israel. Israel. And I'm here to say that when God removes the Christians from this world, it's going to send a powerful signal to Israel. They're going to be shell-shocked. They're going to hear the trumpet of Jehovah God, and they're going to know that God is beginning to deal with Israel again. Oh, this is biblical teaching here. And so I hope you see the importance of this. So the rapture of the believers will happen because of salvation, not because of a reward. You're not going to be raptured because you're a good Christian. And you're not going to be left behind because you're a bad Christian. Some people teach that. May mga nagtuturo ng ganun. Kapag backslider ka, may iiwan ka. Okay? Hindi ho totoo yun. Ang totoo, kung ikaw ay tunay na ligtas, kilala mo si Jesucristo, pagbalik ho niya, pag sumigaw siya, aakyat ho lahat ng mga ligtas, whether or not sila ay mainit sa Panginoon o malamig sa Panginoon, haharap po ang lahat ng mga mananampalataya. Sasama ho tayo doon kasi tayo ay na kay Kristo. Yun ang importante. You have to be in Christ. Now, the rapture of the saved or the rapture of the believer is different. I hope you understand this. It's different from the second coming of Jesus Christ. or what we would call the revelation of Jesus Christ, or the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. Okay, so rapture, Jesus returns in the air. And the second coming, Jesus returns to the earth. In the rapture, Jesus returns for his own. In the second coming, Jesus returns with his own. We're going to be with him when he comes down. At the rapture, Jesus takes all the believers to safety. At the second coming, Jesus takes all the unbelievers in judgment. At the rapture, it could happen any moment now. At the second coming, you have at least 7 years warning. So yung rapture, wala hong sinyales, walang oras, pwede pong maganap ang rapture kahit na ngayon, kahit na kailan, pwede na pong mangyari yon, yung rapture. The rapture is imminent. That means the rapture is ready to take place. It can happen tonight. It can happen tomorrow. There are no signs for the rapture. Now, the second coming, there are many signs of the second coming. Read Matthew 24. There's a lot of signs for the second coming, okay? The second coming is at least always 7 years ahead before he comes to the earth, all right? And there are signs that mark the time. So can a person not know the exact time and date of his coming? You may not know the exact time and date, but there are clues in the Bible. But that has nothing to do with the rapture. Oh, the rapture is without warning. The coming has signs. The rapture has no signs. The rapture is for believers only. The second coming is for Israel and for the Gentile nations. Totally different crowd. The rapture involves the judgment seat of Christ to reward his servants, to reward the Christians. But the second coming of Christ involves judgment to condemnation of the unsaved. Two different judgments, not the same. The rapture is a time of joy for the Christian. I mean, imagine, Christian, you're here in this sin-sick, sin-cursed world where wickedness and evil abounds. We're just in a total mess, but we have a blessed hope that when Jesus comes back for us, he's going to take us away. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe ye in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I will come and receive you unto me. Oh, when is he going to come to receive the believers? Oh, at the rapture. Where is he going to take us? The Father's house. Okay. And so it's a time of joy. The second coming, oh, it's a time of mourning. It's a time of sadness. The rapture has no kingdom to set up. There's no setting up a kingdom yet. But in the second coming, Jesus Christ comes down on Mount of Olives and he will establish a kingdom in Jerusalem. We call it the millennial kingdom. And we call it that because it's mentioned six times in Revelation that it's going to last for 1,000 years. And so the second coming establishes a kingdom. The rapture has no kingdom. I hope you're understanding. There's a difference between the rapture and the second coming. There's another thing. The rapture is about this warning. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. He can come any moment. He's nearby. He's close. He's coming soon. Time is short. The Lord is at hand. That's the rapture. But the second coming is a different phrase. They're saying the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is at hand. And so we see there's a difference between the rapture of the believers and the revelation or the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so far, besides those who teach that backsliders are left behind, which is not true, everybody's on the same page. The problem is not everybody thinks or believes that Jesus is coming back any moment now. Some people believe that the church or the New Testament churches will go through the tribulation period, the 7 years tribulation period. Some people believe the New Testament churches are going to go through half of the 7 year tribulation period. And some teachers, they believe that the church won't be raptured. There's just going to be one big resurrection, it'll happen when the church totally evangelizes the entire world. Well, let me just say, there are problems with all those views. That the Bible is very clear that the Lord will descend to take the believers to safety, and then he pours out his wrath upon the entire world, and he wakes up Israel, and he works with Israel during the tribulation period, and the church is up with him in the Father's house, facing him in the judgment seat of Christ for rewards, and then being married to him in a marriage ceremony, a marriage made in heaven, a match made in heaven, Jesus and his bride. And so anyway, why is the rapture of the believers? Why will the rapture occur before the tribulation? Well, I want to give you some reasons why that the rapture will take place before the tribulation. Well, number one, the tribulation period is not designed for the churches. It is specifically designed for Israel, the national ethnic Israel. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Who is thy people of Daniel? Who's Daniel's people? Where is Daniel from? He's a Jew. All right. Who's his people? The Jewish people. And so the time, the 70 weeks are determined upon the people of Israel. Nothing to do with the church. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, the tribulation, or at least the last half of the tribulation, is called the time of Jacob's trouble. Whose trouble is this? Jacob's trouble. Again, it's for Israel. It's not for the churches of the Lord. So one reason why we know that the rapture is going to take place before the tribulation is because the tribulation has everything to do with Israel than it has to do with the New Testament churches. Number two, the Bible teaches us that the churches are exempt from the day of the Lord. Now, hindi pag-aaralan natin next week yung day of the Lord. We're going to learn about the day of the Lord next week, okay? So I don't want to jump ahead, but I do want to say that the churches have an exemption from the day of the Lord. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians. Nasa 1 Thessalonians ka, no? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Go over to chapter 5. Now, in chapter 4 that we just read, Paul was describing the rapture of the believers. So where are the believers now? In heaven. Now look at chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye, talking to the church at Thessalonica, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Oh, what event comes as a thief in the night? The day of the Lord. Look at verse number 3. Now look at the pronouns change. Verse number 3, and this is very important that you notice, he's no longer referring to the church here. Look at verse number 3. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, not ye. You see the change? Sudden destruction shall come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Who will not escape the day of the Lord? The unsaved. What about the church? Verse number 4. But ye, brethren. Oh, who's this? The church at Thessalonica. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Oh, the day of the Lord will never overtake the church as a thief. Verse number 5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Verse number 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. See, the day of the Lord is for the unsaved, not for the churches, certainly not for the believer. And so you see, they are the children of light. It is not for them. They will escape. And the ones who won't escape, they're the unsaved. Now, can an unsaved person be a member of a church? Yes. Yes. Remember Matthew 13, the parable, the mystery, the parable of the kingdoms. The wheat is sown among the tares, or the tares is sown among the wheat. Let me get that right. Okay. So important that you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you want to escape the day of the Lord, you've got to know the Lord is your Savior now, before the Lord descends in the air. Because when he takes the believers out of this world, whoever's left behind, you got 7 years. 7 years. You can mark it down. I think it's going to be such confusion here on earth. People are not going to know what time and date and year it is for the first 3.5 years. That's the way I read the scriptures. I think that's true. Wi-Fi is going to be knocked out. Woo! Wi-Fi? No Wi-Fi? Yeah, no Wi-Fi. No computers. No Facebook. No live stream. Nothing. It's all going to be wiped out. Oh, no Netflix. Yeah. No iFlix. No Flix. Nothing. No signal. No Wi-Fi. No, all the towers will be knocked out. Oh, man, I'm telling you. Oh, we think quarantine is bad. We have computer. Woo. Well, the 7-year tribulation period will be the worst thing that ever happened to this world. And it's no joke. When Jesus comes back, the moment he snatches us away, that marks the beginning of the end. 7 years tribulation. Now, a third reason why the church is not going to go through the tribulation is because in Revelation chapter 3, verse 22, you don't hear about the churches anymore until Revelation 22. Let me say that again. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 22, that's the last you'll ever hear of the churches. From Revelation chapter 3, verse 22, to Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, that's when you'll hear about the church again. What I'm saying is the contents of Revelation chapter 4 to chapter 18, chapter 19, doesn't involve the New Testament biblical churches. They're not found in between Revelation chapter 3, 22 and 22, 16. Again, the Bible's showing us that the tribulation is for Israel. It's for the Gentile nations. It's for the unsaved. And it's not for the bride of Christ. It is not for the believers. Another fourth reason why we can see in the Bible how Paul encouraged the Christians to look for the coming of the Lord. Look at verse number 6, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch. That's the responsibility of the churches today. God wants every biblical church to watch. Watch for what? Watch for the Antichrist? Watch for the beast? Watch for the 666? No. Watch for the coming of Christ in the air to gather us up, to catch us up, to rapture us. Watch. Are you watching for the Lord's return? Or maybe, Christian, you're sleeping. Maybe you're snoozing. You're taking it easy. Oh, they always say Jesus is coming back, but he's never going to come. He's not going to come back. Oh, you'll be ashamed before him at his coming if that's your attitude. Oh, the Bible over and over encourages us to look, to watch, to wait, to anticipate. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Alam ko medyo mahaba, pero huwag kayong mag-alala. Naka-quarantine naman tayo. May oras tayo, no? 1 Corinthians, malapit na po akong matapos. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, 22. One of the earliest models of the local New Testament biblical churches. 1 Corinthians 16, 22. 1 Corinthians 16, 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. And here's this interesting word, Maranatha. Maranatha. What does Maranatha mean? Well, Maranatha comes, it's a word that means our Lord come. Our Lord come. Oh, it's a prayer. Oh, it's an expectation. Our Lord is coming. Our Lord is on his way. Oh, do you have the Maranatha in your heart? As a Christian, you should say, when you look at this world and you look at how sinful this world is, and you look at abortion and you look at sodomy and you look at COVID-19, you just look at the devastation of this world, the sin creeping up in the churches. You just look to the sky and you say, Maranatha, our Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus. The last prayer in the Bible, even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's the heartbeat of today, of the believer today, is that we look forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's going to happen when he raptures us? Well, our physical body will be changed. We will have glorified bodies. Paul experienced that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. What's a glorified body? Ano ang glorified body? Ano kaya yung katawan natin pag na-rapture tayo? Well, tingnan mo ang 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. This gives us a clue as to what will happen to our bodies when we're raptured. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. Oh, Paul experienced a rapture. He was caught up to the third heaven. He was raptured. He was snatched. He was seized. He was taken to the third heaven. Verse number 3. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Again, he repeats himself. It was an experience. I did not know. Was I in my body? I was, but I wasn't, because it was a glorified body. Look at verse number 4, how that he was caught up into paradise. Oh, wherever God took him, in the third heaven, it was also called paradise. He understood that place. It was a real place. He was in a body. It was in a real place. It was in a garden like paradise. Oh, so what am I saying? I'm saying when God raptures us and takes us to heaven, we are going to have a body not too different from what we have now, except glorified. Amazing. And the place he's going to take us is not too strange, not too different that we won't feel comfortable. We're going to see the beauty of paradise, the beauty of the third heaven. We're going to be in the Father's house. And so it's going to be a wonderful thing. When we are raptured, we're going to share in the glory of Christ. We will share in the glory of Christ. We will receive our spiritual inheritance. We will be joined in perfect fellowship with the Heavenly Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit of God. We will see the fruit of our ministry when we get to heaven. What does that mean? Everyone you won to the Lord, you'll see them over there. Even the ones you didn't know that you led to the Lord because you were faithful to give a gospel tract or to say a word of witness or to invite them to church so they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will see them and they will be your crown of joy. It'll be a wonderful reunion in heaven. Oh my. You will enter into eternal life. You know, when you're raptured, you'll never ever become corruptible again. You're never able to fall into sin again. Oh, it's eternal life. And here's the best thing. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4:17. The best thing about the rapture. What's the best thing about the rapture? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. It's one of the most theological verses in all of the Bible. If you could summarize the story of salvation, here it is, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and it's wrapped up in the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, it's going to be a grand reunion. Everyone who's saved, everyone who knows the Lord, we're going to forever be with the Lord, never to be separated again. You know, I hate goodbyes. I hate goodbyes. So sad when you have to say goodbye to a loved one. So sad when you have to say goodbye to a friend. But if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there'll come a day when you'll never say goodbye and you'll always be with the Lord. And that's why in verse 18, Paul said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Oh, the words of the rapture is a comforting truth. Never say goodbye because you know the Lord as your Savior. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the truths of Scripture regarding the rapture of the believers. Lord, I pray if there's some listening and they do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, before it's too late, they would repent and believe, that they would turn to Jesus Christ and trust in him and believe on him to be their Lord and Savior. And we ask for that, Lord, before it's too late. And for us, Lord, who are Christians, we thank you, Lord, and love you, Lord. You reveal these truths to us, and we are humbled by this truth. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to live for you. Help us to watch. Help us to look. Help us to work and serve you while we can, because there'll come a time when we will face you at the judgment seat of Christ, and cast our crowns before your feet, for you are worthy, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the simple Bible truths we found today. Help us to live in the light of the ever-ready rapture of the believer, ready to take place at any moment. Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Mejo mahaba. Sorry, I'm sorry to take your time, but I'm really not sorry to take your time. You're in quarantine, so you have time. But anyway, let me invite you that if you have any questions, shoot us an email or send us a message. And also, wag kalimutan yung live stream natin Sunday, 10:25 for Sunday school, 11 o'clock Sunday morning, and then 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon service. And again, we have study notes, yung study notes natin. They're available. I want to send you a study note, but if you need one, send us a message and we'll get you tonight's study notes. All right? Thank you po sa pakikinig. Salamat po sa mga feedback na nakikita ko dito. Pag may prayer request, ilagay natin sa prayer list. Gagawin ko yung prayer list pagkatapos nito at ilalagay ko sa messenger para sa inyo. Mga kapatiran ng MZBMP, mga kapatiran, God bless you. Kung may tulong na kailangan ninyo ng tulong, pagkain, wala dapat ang magutom sa atin sa quarantine natin. Dapat nga medyo tumaba tayo ng konti, ano? Kung tama yung ginagawa mo, no? Magchichirya tayo. Kung wala kang pagkain, please paki-message, handa po kaming tumulong para sa ating mga kapatiran. Ganun din, halimbawa, meron kang mahal sa buhay, wala silang pagkain, ganun, please paki-communicate at makatulong tayo kahit na maliit lang, kahit na konti lang. Alright? God bless you. Don't forget, wash your hands. God bless you.